WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. After some controversy over student behavior and some teachers' reluctance to teach, reports of a bomb threat shut down Charlottesville High School's campus. JMU and the Attorney General reverse course and say they won't file a lawsuit against the NCAA, at least not yet. And how will divided government in Richmond affect the budgeting process next year? This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, November 22nd. Reports of a bomb threat shut down the Charlottesville High School campus during a teacher workday on Tuesday. The Daily Progress reports that school officials sent parents an email around 2:30 in the afternoon, reporting that an apparent image of a bomb was posted to a CHS student Snapchat group. Police searched the school and found no bomb. A school spokeswoman said that they had identified the student who sent the message. She said the student did not realize the image could be interpreted as a threat and regretted the post. This all comes after CHS had been shut down for 3 days, leading into the Thanksgiving holiday due to the refusal of some teachers to come to class because of raucous student behavior. James Madison University and Attorney General Jason Meares have reversed course and say, at least for now, they won't file a lawsuit against the NCAA over the school's ineligibility for a bowl game. In a press release Tuesday night, JMU said Saturday's football loss to Appalachian State changed the calculus of the timing of a lawsuit. This comes after JMU had appealed to the NCAA a second time for bowl eligibility. The NCAA, a week later, denied their request. The only way the Dukes can compete in a bowl game is if there's not enough six-win teams to fill all the bowl game slots. Full disclosure, WMRA's operating license is held by JMU's Board of Visitors. As we reported yesterday, state lawmakers have already begun to circulate key bills and resolutions they want to tackle in the 2024 legislative session. Megan Moore with VPM News has more.
Democrats have pre-filed bills and resolutions the party thinks are priority issues in the Commonwealth, from enshrining reproductive rights in Virginia's Constitution to further raising the minimum wage. Bills introduced by Delegate Dan Helmer of Northern Virginia and State Senator Cree Deeds of Charlottesville would effectively create a ban on assault-style firearms, making it a Class 1 misdemeanor for people who import, sell, manufacture, purchase, possess, transport, or transfer them. Republicans no longer control the state house, but one of the first pieces of legislation they brought forth would repeal a law tying vehicle emissions in the state to California's, as opposed to looser federal standards. A version introduced by State Senator Richard Stewart of King George would also prohibit the State Air Pollution Control Board from adopting model year standards similar to what's in place on the West Coast.
Megan Moore reporting. Recent disagreements over Virginia's budget have boiled down to whether funding for state programs should be increased or to cut taxes. Governor Glenn Youngkin deferred on a question on whether he would pursue tax relief in this year's budget at an advisory board meeting on Monday.
I continue to be concerned about the cost of living in Virginia, and we're continuing to evaluate how best to address that.
Virginia has had billions in unexpected revenues over the past 2 years. Jad Khalil with VPM News has more on the possible effects of divided government on the state's budget process.
Governor Glenn Youngkin met with business executives on Monday to discuss their expectations about the economy. It's one step in estimating how much tax revenue the state will bring in.
Planning for a mild recession next year that could have a little bit of downside to it, to that, is okay, because I think it reflects the cross currents.
Youngkin said policymakers had planned for a recession when they met about a year ago, and then again last August, but one has yet to come. Andrew Panek is a public policy professor at the University of Virginia. He says there's wisdom in being risk-averse and making conservative estimates about the economy.
On the other hand, there are real needs in the Commonwealth that are not being met because of the conservative budgeting policy. Those are trade-offs.
Democrats are eyeing education and health spending, and so are some local governments. Youngkin presents his budget on December 20th.
Jad Khalil reporting. Finally today, the history of the most American of holidays, Thanksgiving, is complicated. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When exactly was the first Thanksgiving? Generations of schoolchildren saw educational films like this one explaining the origins of the holiday.
Turkey or no turkey, we've still got all the freedoms and privileges the pilgrims gave us. And out of those privileges have come a lot of things. Things the pilgrims never even dreamed of.
Fact check. The Pilgrims did not have the first Thanksgiving.
And that is such a romanticized version of history. It's also not factual.
That's Jatiya Wrighton at Virginia Commonwealth University. She points out that years before the Pilgrims met at Plymouth Rock, Virginia had Thanksgiving in the year 1619, a year that we now think of in a much different way because of the 1619 Project.
For the slaves that were brought here, it was a traumatic year, and it continued to be a traumatic experience in the United States. For many people who study oppressed groups, 1619 really represents the beginning of chattel slavery in the United States, starting in Virginia. Of course, in school, that was not anything that we were taught.
So the first Thanksgiving was not the Pilgrims in 1621, and it wasn't even the Virginians in 1619. Spanish colonists celebrated Thanksgiving in Florida as early as the 1500s, a period of colonialism that is also currently experiencing a reconsideration. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.